Praise God, it's time for the word. So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I've entitled my message this afternoon, The Church. The Church. Last week, we were focusing on the topic of the gospel from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we found out that about the three fundamental truths about the gospel, which Paul was highlighting in that chapter. We understood that gospel centers fully in the crucifixion and glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. That gospel is all about Jesus, and that we are not called to be famous, but we are called to be faithful and to make Jesus famous. We looked at the characteristics of the wisdom and looked at how the word is still relevant to us today. The signs, wonders, and miracles are still relevant for us today. And finally, we looked at some of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, which Paul pointed out in this chapter, that the Spirit searches and the Spirit cleanses us, the Spirit convicts us, the Spirit teaches us, reveals us the truth, and the Spirit matures us. And to conclude all this, we looked at Paul's concluding statement. We have the mind of Christ. In other words, we are to think like Christ, we are to see like Christ, we are to move like Christ, we are to live and love like Christ. And so today we will focus on the third chapter and try to discover what else was happening in the church and why it is relevant for us today. So if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 4 to start with. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos. Are you not mere human beings? The church is a family and is committed to serving and investing in one another. The church is a family and is committed to serving and investing in one another. Paul already explained in the previous chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that there was two kinds of people in the world: natural, who are unsaved, and spiritual, who are saved, who have now decided to follow Jesus and have given Jesus their everything and have made Jesus their savior. But now he goes on to explain that there are two kinds of believers. Okay, he goes on to say that there are mature believers, spiritual believers, and there are immature, carnal believers. Okay, mature believers and immature believers. You know, a mature believer allows the Holy Spirit to teach him and direct him, and he opens himself to the work of the Spirit. But on the other hand, immature Christian lives for the things of the flesh and has little interest in the things of the Spirit. Please hear me carefully on this one. Of course, some believers, when they first commit their lives to Jesus and they've just started the journey of faith, yes, there is a lot of learning to do the poor, but Paul is not discussing about that sort of category in here. You see, Paul was the spiritual father who brought this family into being. During his 18 months, he ministered in Corinth. Paul tried to feed his spiritual children and help them mature in the faith. You see, just as in human family, everybody helps the new baby grow and mature, so in the family of God, we must encourage spiritual maturity. So the question, what are the marks of maturity? You know, I found that you can tell a lot about a mature person by their diet. For example, a mature person's diet, should I say adult's diet, is completely different to a children's diet. You know, a child, they learn to eat different food. They graduate from, using the words of Paul, from milk to meat. See, a child doesn't start to run straight away. They begin with crawling. Then they start to walk slowly, and then they begin to run. So what is the difference? You know, the milk in this scripture represents easy things in the word, represents just the natural little floaty bits. But the meat represents the hard spiritual truth. The truth that convicts us, the truth that penetrates our hearts, the truth that shakes us, the truth that shakes the comfort zones of our lives and pushes us to maturity. Just as the grown man needs a balanced diet if his body is to be healthy, so the inner man, the inner spirit, needs a balanced diet of spiritual food. You see, the baby begins with milk. But as he grows, his teeth develops. He needs solid food. This shows that one of the most important elements of spiritual maturity is spiritual diet. What kind of spiritual food are we feeding on? What kind of teachings are we receiving? Let me make this statement. Not everything we see in God TV is sound doctrine. Not everything that we see in God TV is sound truth. We need the discernment of the Spirit. Amen. We need the discernment of the Spirit. I've seen a lot of wounded believers because of this issue. Everything that they've heard and listened in God TV, they've believed, and soon, you know, their faith is used and abused, and it resulting in that person's falling, which is very sad. And that's why we need the discernment of the Spirit, but at the same time, we need accountability in the church. Amen. We need the discernment and we need the accountability. Discernment means, yes, I know within my spirit that this is not right. This is something that is not of the Spirit. That is discernment. But at the same time, we need accountability, which makes us go to our leaders and talk to them about the things that we have heard and talk to them about the things that have been spoken in and over our lives. For spiritual things gives birth to the Spirit, and the carnal things gives birth to carnality. Spiritual things gives birth to the Spirit, and the carnal things, fleshly things, gives birth to carnality. You see, children, like, they like to disagree and fuss, don't they? They usually argue on who is better superhero, who is the strongest, and who is the most amazing player on the video game. And sadly, like the children, some of the believers in the church were fighting over which preacher was the greatest. Some were saying Paul, some were saying Apollos, some were saying Peter, but they forgot about Jesus. They were sounding like children on the playground. My father can fight better than your father. My father makes more money than you. My father is stronger than your father. They were sounding like children in here. And that's what Paul is saying to them, listen, you are still worldly because you haven't fully grasped hold of this simple truth that it is all about Jesus. It's not about mere humans. It's not about Paul's. It's not about Paul. It's not about Paulus. It's not about any of them. This is about Jesus. The main work of the church is to help the congregation not grow in numbers, but in spirit, amen, and in their spirituality. Growing in numbers does not mean it's fruitful. Growing in spirit shows that it's fruitful, amen. It's not about, yes, it's not about statistics. No, it's not about even the numbers. This is about quality. We are called to disciple quality followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. To produce quality followers of Jesus Christ. See, the word reminds us that this is achieved by the feeding on the sound doctrine, feeding on the sound teaching, feeding on the word. Paul's words to Timothy were, watch your life and doctrine carefully. In other words, watch your life and the truth you receive carefully. Because what we receive will ultimately impact our lives. See, what we receive is who we become. And if we receive in just the things of the flesh, we will produce the fleshly things. But if we receive from the Spirit and the hard, meaty truth from the Bible, then automatically our lives will begin to flourish and mature in the things of God. Amen. See, we are to test the word, study the word, and feed on the word. You see the order there? We are to firstly test the word. Then we are to study the word for ourselves. In other words, when I hear something, my first responsibility is to test it. And secondly, my second responsibility is to study it. And thirdly, then to receive it. Amen. You see, so many times we simply just don't filter all of this. And that's why this results in a lot of brokenness happening within the believers' lives, because they are just like receiving all the things that is not of the Spirit. See, even when we eat the food, I mean, we look at the food firstly, don't we? And if you're anything like me, I smell the food. I look at the food, then I smell the food. Then I play with my food a little bit, then I eat my food. But some people just look at the food, they just eat the food. But I'm in a different category here. I usually look at my food, I smell my food, I play with my food, then I eat my food. Okay, and it's the very same thing with the gospel, as with the word that we receive, with the prophecy that we receive. Firstly, we are to test it, and then we are to study it. We are to study the word of God, then we are to feed on the word of God. You see, a mature, spirit-filled believer uses their gifts as a tool to build others around them. And immature believer will use their gifts as toys to play with and are trophies to boast about their giftings. See, many of the members in this church in Corinth, they were showing off their gifts. They were only interested in serving themselves, and they were not interested in serving one another and edifying the church. So what is the church all about? Church is a family. I mean, we are family of God. We are the body of Christ that is committed to loving, feeding, and discipling God's people so that they can become mature in their faith and become more like Jesus. Can you imagine the church? What the church would look like if everybody became busy building and investing in one another? Can you imagine what the church of Jesus Christ will look like if everybody was busy building and investing in one another? The church is a family and committed to serving and investing in one another. Amen. In verse 5 to verse 9, this is what it says. What after all is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. Let me read that again. As the Lord has assigned to each, amen, to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. Hallelujah. God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. You are God's field, God's building. See, the second thing I want to highlight is this. The church is a field where everyone can contribute. The church is a field where everyone can contribute. The church of Jesus Christ is a field that is called. Amen. Firstly, we are called. Secondly, we are ordained. And thirdly, we are anointed. The church of Jesus Christ is a field that is called, ordained, and anointed to bear fruit. Our calling is to sow the seed, cultivate the seed, and water the plants, but it is the Lord who brings it. It is the Lord who brings in the harvest. Amen. It is the Lord who brings in the harvest. It is the Lord who brings in the growth. You know, to begin with, the emphasis must be on God and God alone, not on the laborers. You see, Paul and Apollos were only servants. Paul himself writes this and he says, we're only servants who are doing their assigned tasks. It was God who gave life to their efforts. It was God who was working through the disciples performing signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, the problem sadly now is the center of attention has been placed on the servants rather than the Savior. That's what we are seeing these days. The attention is now being placed on the servants rather than the Savior. Servants have been placed on high places and worshipped rather than understanding that it was and it has and was always the Lord, that God who was working through them. We have no power of our own. We need to understand this. We have no power of our own. We have no anointing of our own. We have no authority of our own. It is, it was, and will always be Jesus. We are anointed because Jesus is with us. We have the authority because Jesus gave us the authority. We have the power because Jesus gave us the power. Amen. It was all about Jesus. It will always be about Jesus. And let's look to the Lord of the harvest. It breaks my heart, you know, when I hear loads of people just like elevating speakers and preachers and forgetting about the Lord. We need to look to the Lord of the harvest instead of the planters. See, we're assigned, we're called to be his planters, to plant the seed. But it is the Lord who brings in the harvest. As Paul states in verse 6, you know, Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. But God has been making it grow. Not the preacher, not Paul, not Apollos, not Cephas. See, it was God. God is the source of the growth so that no man can take the credit. You know, there are three main lessons we can grasp from this. The first one is this. The beauty of diversity in ministry. The beauty of diversity in ministry. You know, serving the Lord is a beautiful thing. And one of the beauty is there is diversity in ministry. One laborer plows the soil, another sows the seed, and the third waters the seed. As time passes, the plant grows, the fruit appears, and other laborers enjoy reaping the harvest. And as you know, we are building the platform at church. And to build it, different ministry is required. We were talking about this over day, me and Steve and Andrew. Different ministry is required, you know. a ministry of cutting the timber, ministry of screwing them together, ministry of soldering the cables, which Andrew is doing, and putting them under the platform. You see, the ministry of putting the electrics together. All these ministries combined together brings a beautiful picture of diversity in ministry. All these ministries combined together will result in a beautiful platform in the next few days. You know, so there is this beauty of diversity in the ministry. Everyone can contribute. See, we say, oh, Lord, there's nothing in me. I mean, I can't do much. But there is so much we can contribute. Amen, each and every one of us. There is so much we can contribute to the things of God. There is so much we can contribute to the purpose that he has for us. And secondly, in this beautiful ministry, there is this beauty of purpose bringing in unity. Andrew was talking about it on prayer meeting as well, about the unity that he brings. You know, we've been working there, but I mean, the unity there is beautiful because each and every one of us, we have same one purpose. We're there for one reason. We're there for one purpose. And where there is one purpose, it brings unity. You know, no matter what work a person is doing for the Lord, it is still a part of the harvest. Now he planteth and he that watereth are one, says in verse 8. He that planteth and he that watereth are one. You see, Paul, Apollos, and Peter, we're not competing with each other. Rather, each of them, they were doing their assigned task under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Under the lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, in the church, we have the drink-making ministry. We have the cleaning ministry. Providing of food to the laborers is as much as important as preaching of the word. You know, there is no ministry greater than the other. Each and every ministry is as important and necessary for the building of the church. Amen? Amen. It's as much as important. And thirdly, there is this beauty of being partners with God. Partnering with God. I mean, it's a beautiful privilege. You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful privilege that we get to partner with our Savior. You know, it is not the human laborers who produce the harvest, but the Lord of the harvest. We saw in verse 6 and verse 7, God gave the increase, God that giveth the increase. You know, the Corinthians were proud of the church, and various groups in the assembly were proud of their leaders. But this attitude of being puffed up was dividing the church because God was not receiving the glory. What men may think of ministry is not important. What is important is what does God think of us? You know, what does God think of us? Our reward must not be the praises of men, but the well done of the Lord of the harvest. And I love that scripture found in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, where it says, whatever you do, always remember that you're doing it for the Lord. Mm-hmm. Always remember that you're doing it for the Lord. I mean, we're there at church and we're doing the beautiful work. And, you know, it's just we keep reminding ourselves that we're doing it for the Lord. Times where we feel weary, we remind ourselves we're doing it for the Lord. Times where we feel like, oh, man, I'm a bit tired. We're doing it for the Lord. Amen. We are doing it for the Lord. The reason why we're there is because we're doing it for the Lord. And when we remind ourselves that we're doing it for the Lord, automatically there is this supernatural strength that comes on. There is this supernatural, I don't know, the power, you know, the passion, the push that comes. And it's great. It's great. I absolutely love it. And I consider myself blessed, you know, to be able to play a little small part in God's purpose in intake in Doncaster. Amen. You see, it's a beautiful reality to have and know that God is always with us and that we are not on our own. We are not on our own. You know, it takes away all the pressure of trying to be someone who we are not. because it is not us, but God doing it in us and through us. Amen. You know, before I used to take on a lot of pressure and, you know, it was as if it was me doing everything. No, you know, I don't perform miracles. I don't perform signs, wonders, and miracles. Every time even praying for people, I used to think, oh, what if they don't get healed? You know, I used to put myself on pressure. Then it was just like a light bulb. Boom. Remember, it's not you. It is me, says the Lord. Amen. It's not us. It is the Lord. And that's why when we grasp hold of that truth, I mean, we can move confidently, knowing that it's not us, but it is the Lord. Amen. So we can confidently pray for people, knowing that it is the Lord who's going to heal that person. We can confidently pray for signs, wonders, and miracles, knowing that it is the Lord who performs the signs, wonders, and miracles. But the key is we have to confidently trust in Him. We have to confidently trust in Him alone. Amen. God doing it in us and through us. It's a beautiful, beautiful privilege. Beautiful privilege. And verse 10 to verse 23. This is what it says. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Again, Paul reminds him, it is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on the foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring its light. It will be received with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. I mean, we're building it right now. I mean, amen. We're building with everything in us. We're making sure that it's solid, it's firm, because we're not building it just for temporary measures. We're building it to last. And that's what I get from the scripture. You know, we are to build it to last, because when the testing will come, when the fire will be test, it will show the quality of each person's work. Whatever we do, let's do it with all our might that God has given us. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss and yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? Amen. God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, and God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. Do not deceive yourself. If any of you thinks you are wise by standards of this age, you should become fools, so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apostle or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. Amen. We are of Christ. Paul reminds him, listen, you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. Third thing I want to highlight is this. The church is a temple. And the goal is to raise, build, and produce quality followers of Jesus Christ. The church is a temple, and the goal is to raise, build, and produce quality followers of Jesus Christ. Not entertainers. You know, we're not called to produce entertainers. We're not called to raise entertainers. We're not called to build entertainers. No, we are called to produce and raise quality followers of Jesus Christ, to make disciples that be willing to go to every corners of the earth to preach and to share and to stand for the truth and to proclaim the gospel. Amen. We all build on Christ. You know, we are built on Christ, but some people use good materials while others use poor materials. The kind of material we use determines the kind of reward we will get. You know, we are building to last, as I said earlier on. We are building to last. You know, while making the platform, we are making sure that all the frameworks are screwed in properly. We are making sure that all the frameworks are joined properly, because if it isn't, the chances are it will not last very long. All the materials we have used are first-class materials because we are building it to last. You know, God calls us to build with quality. God calls us to build with quality. You know, God is not a half a job God. You know, he's quality God. And if we are his followers, if we are to live like how God wants us to live, then we are called to sow with quality. We are called to serve with quality. We are called to build with quality. Amen. We are called to build with quality. You see, the church does not belong to the preacher or to the congregation. It belongs to God. It belongs to God. You know, we are God's people. We are God's people. As we already read in verse 9, it says, God's building, God's field. We are God's field. We are God's people. We are God's building. And we are called to build and create and to rule and to reign. Amen. We have to do it God's way, not our way. We have to do it God's way because God wants to build it. And if God has called us to build it, he will give us all the tools that we need to build it. Because we are not building it on our own. We are building with God's spirit. We are building it with God's word. You know, we are not laboring in vain. We are laboring with purpose, with quality. You know, in this, the first thing I want to highlight is found in verse 10 to verse 11. It says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation. You know, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. You know, this shows that we must build on right foundation. We must build on right foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ. Amen. That is the ultimate truth. The foundation is Jesus Christ. And when Paul came to Corinth, he was determined to preach only Christ. He laid the only foundation that would last. He didn't preach himself. He didn't preach about the emperor. He didn't preach his ideas. He preached the gospel. He preached what was passed on to disciples, then which was passed on to him. He preached the ultimate truth. It was not watered down. It was not polluted with some different ideas. It was given from the throne room of heaven, and it was presented just like it was given and received by Paul. See, and we are to do the same. Sometimes we water down the gospel to fit into people's ideas and people's behaviors and people's settings. Do you know, but I firmly believe we are to preach the gospel just as it is written in the Bible, not to mix it, not to contaminate it. You know, some of the gospels you hear and you don't even hear the mentions of Jesus. You don't even hear the mention of the scripture. You know, someone stands there and someone rants on about their life so-and-so for so long, then they don't quote the scripture. And I'm thinking, we are starting on a wrong foundation. We have to build on the right foundation. To build on the right foundation, we need to make sure the foundation is solid. And Jesus is the only solid foundation. Amen. Jesus is the only solid foundation that is going to last. You know, a ministry may seem successful for a time, but if it's not founded on Christ, it will eventually collapse or disappear. And I'm sure, you know, you guys have seen it happen time over time, again and again, so many times. you know, to when it starts, it seems successful. All the ideas and all the strategies and all different ways of how to do this, how to do that, it sounds great. But if it's not built on Christ, the laborers are laboring in vain, because it will eventually collapse or even disappear. That's why Paul makes it clear. Listen, there is only one foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. And second one, we see on from verse 12, actually, to verse 20. The second one I want to highlight is this. We've got the right foundation. Secondly, we must build with the right material. We must build with the right material. You know, when we're building the platform at church, the foundation is right. But if the foundation is right, we need to make sure we get the right materials as well, so that it holds the people who will be walking over it and above it. So in order for that to happen, we need to get the right materials. And same with the Word of God. We must build with the right material, church. See, what are we feeding ourselves on? We must be very careful on the types of teachings we are engaging on. And also we should test them when we hear them. You know, a lot of good faithful servants of the Lord have sadly been led astray because of this very issue. Therefore, we need to build with the right materials. We need to devote and study the scripture with reverence. Let me say it again. We need to devote ourselves and study the scripture with reverence. It is God's holy word. You know, it's not just words. This is God speaking to us. It's God's holy word, inspired by the Spirit of God, passed on to our ancestors, church fathers, you know, God's holy word. And if you hear, you know, it's just like, if you ever find yourself being in a service where Jesus is not preached, I've got one advice for you. Run. Run from them as soon as you can. If you ever find yourself listening to messages and Jesus is not mentioned, close it. If you ever find yourself reading a book and it's all watered down, close that book. Put it in a corner somewhere. Don't ever open it again. You know, this is all about Jesus. The truth shakes us. The truth convicts us. And if it's not convicting us, then is it really truth? The truth should always convict us, because it will always shape us. It will always mold us. The church of Jesus Christ should be built with the right gospel. The church of Jesus Christ should be built with the right doctrine. The church of Jesus Christ should be built with the right material. Amen. And lastly, we must build with right motives. We must build with right motives. It says in here, verse 21 and verse 23. Verse 21 to verse 23. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or the present, or the future, all are yours. And you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. You know, we must build with right motives. Why am I doing this? Am I doing this to receive praises of people? Or am I doing it to glorify God? You know, why are we doing what we are doing? Everyone does the what's. You know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm running. Everyone does the what's. But why are we doing it? Why are we doing it? You know, the members of the Corinthian church were glorifying in men. And this was wrong. And Paul closes his appeal by pointing out that each believer possesses all things in Christ. Wow. Each believer possesses all things in Christ. You know, gifts are not only for the leaders. Gifts are not only for the church preachers. It is for everyone. Amen. It is for everyone. God does not withhold gifts from his children. It is available to us all. It is available to us all. He wants his church to be overflowing of his gifts. The gift of God is there for each and every one of us. It says in here, you are of Christ. All are yours. The powerful three words, all are yours. Paul's reminding them, listen, just don't always rely on them. Don't just wait for them. You can do it yourself. Amen. You can do it yourself. You can pray. You can reach out with the gospel. Because it is Jesus. It is always about Jesus. And remember that the gifts are there for you too. Desire the gifts, Paul says to the Timothy. Desire gifts, spiritual gifts. Desire God, the only one true God. He wants his church to be overflowing of his gifts. He wants the churches in Doncaster to be overflowing of his gifts. Amen. It is available to us all. But sadly, sometimes we close the door when it comes to God moving in spirit. And the word of the Lord to each and every one of us, all the churches in Doncaster, is leave your door open for the Spirit to move. Leave your services open for the Spirit to move. Leave your houses open for the Spirit of God to move. Leave your life open for the Spirit of God to move. You know, the church is a family and is committed to serving and investing in one another. Church is a field where everyone can contribute. And lastly, church is a temple. And the goal is to raise, build, and produce and send quality followers of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name. Amen.